Hi, on this episode of Data Exposed, we'll dive deeper into Azure SQL Database's new capability for private endpoints. And actually, you'll get to take a look at it in the portal and in things like NSLookup and PSPing. Be sure to tune in on Data Exposed. Hi, my name is Anna Hoffman, and welcome to this episode of Data Exposed. In the first part of this video, which we encourage you to go watch, we'll put a link for it in the comments, Rohit covered what is private endpoint, which is a new feature for Azure SQL Database, among other services in Azure. In this video, Rohit's actually going to dive into what this looks like and how it compares to the public endpoint. So Rohit, thanks for joining us again, and we're excited to see what you have to show us.
Thank you, Anna. So let me share my screen and just walk everyone through the setup first. So in the previous video, we talked about the simple scenario, right? Which you have where you have a SQL database and a client VM. So I've set up the exact same thing here. I have my SQL database in West US, and my client VM, this is in East US. And let me just open up the client VM here. So the client VM typically has two IP addresses. And this is important because this will set the context for us to understand how connectivity changes between public IP address and the private. So just keep this in mind here. 40.117 is the public, and the 10.914 is the private IP address. And for my demo here, what I'm going to do is first show you how it looks like when you connect from the public IP address, which means you're using the public endpoint. Then we'll actually go through the process of setting up a private endpoint, and I'll show you how the private IP connectivity looks like, okay?
Cool.
So stay with me here. And so let me go to my VM. So this is my client VM. And the first thing I'm going to do is just try to verify when I do an NS lookup. So the NS lookup is just checking what is the DNS resolution for my server, right? So this is my demo SQL server. And typically when I get this result back like this, this is telling me that it is going to the public SQL gateway in the region. And then these IP addresses, this is a public IP address for the gateway, and we have published this in our docs, right? So that is one quick way in which you can check where your connection is going to and whether it is using public connectivity to SQL database. Next, we just run a psping command. This is a Mark Rasinovich written tool. And all this does is tries to ping that particular server on port 1433. And again, we see it is resolving to the public IP address of the SQL gateway. So let me try to log in.
And so here you're using SQL CMD, which is a pretty common tool for using for connecting to Azure SQL Database along with SQL Server. Is this something you use for testing networking often?
Yes. So when testing networking, I prefer to do it old school, if you can say that. Just stick to the command line because that keeps that gives you the minimal functionality that you need without, you know, taking any dependency on any tool.
Right. So I don't need to change.
Yes. Sorry. Now, what I wanted to show you here is I just logged into the master database and just did, there's this DM exec connections, DMV, and I queried what is the client IP address that I'm coming in from. And you see here, it's showing me this 40.117 address, which is the public IP of the VM. And I need to whitelist this for the connection to work, right? So I've already done that ahead of time. One last thing I wanted to show is, you know, to really bring this home, is I've captured a network trace. And in this network trace, what's the interesting piece is you'll see two sets of IP addresses. So you definitely see the source IP addresses for the our VM here. And the destination IP address is the IP address of the SQL gateway in the region. And as you look at some interesting frames here, like you have a pre-login, you have this TLS handshake going on, and all this is happening where you're interacting with the SQL gateway. And then you will see, and all these interactions with the gateway will happen on port 1433, okay? So that's the first hop. And this is where you see the second hop when you get redirected to the backend node. And you will see that the destination port here is 11031. So if our listeners go back and look at previous video, we said that when you get redirected, your destination port is in this 11,000 through 11999 port range. So that's what we are seeing here in the network trace. Okay. So this is just to bring the point home about how public connectivity works. And now let's go look at how we use our feature. So here what I'm going to do is I have my, as I said, my Azure SQL database. This is in WestUS. And I'm going to create a private endpoint in the same virtual network as the VM in EastUS. So the whole idea is I take an IP address from the same private IP space, and I create that link between that IP address to the SQL database, which is in a different region. So how do we do this? Is under the server, you go to the private endpoint connections plate and click on this plus sign. And again, it's going to ask you for three inputs. Number one is definitely what's the name you want to give it and the region. Let's see, I made a mistake. So I have my SQL resource group and I have my PE resource group. So this is two different resource groups and two different regions. So just a minor typo there. And second thing is what type of resource I want to use. So here I'm going to pick my specific SQL server here. So this is my Azure SQL database server. This is in the WestUS region. And then I need to pick two other things, which is my VNet and subnet. So this is my VNet and subnet. This is in EastUS, which is the same where I have my client VM. And this is the third piece. This is, I'm creating a new DNS zone that will do the translation. And we'll say create.
Now, Rohit, while this is kicking off, so what yes. we have is we have a SQL database server, and that's in the WestUS region.
Yes, let me go back. So while this is a good one, let me go back and just reinforce what we are doing in the demo here. Is we have a SQL database server in the WestUS region, and my client VM is in the EastUS region.
Got it.
For my client VM to connect to WestUS, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create a private endpoint in this same resource group and in the same VNet, which contains my client VM. So essentially, we are making sure that client VM talks to the SQL database via the private endpoint.
There's no reason that my private endpoint needs to be in the same region as my SQL server or SQL database, right?
Correct. That's a very good point that you bring up here, Anna, which is all these three components, right? The resource that you're creating the private link to versus the private endpoint location versus where your clients are connecting from. This can be in totally different regions. They are not interdependent. However, by keeping it in the, at least keeping the client VM and the private endpoint in the same region, I cut down the need to set up any more networking connectivity by using VNet peering, or like this is just a simple scenario. But our customers also use like a hub and spoke scenario where they have clients in different spoke VMs, and then you can spoke VNets, and then you can have one specific VNet dedicated for all your private endpoints and just allow the traffic from the client to that VNet. So this is where I think we might, let's take a pause for a minute or so, because I think this takes a while to finish. All right, so that took a little bit, but the deployment succeeded. And let's look at what actually got deployed. So it's probably easier to go back to the dashboard here. And what you'll see is, go to the resource group. You'll see three new things that came up here. So definitely the first new thing is this private endpoint, right? So as we had talked about in the previous video, all this is a wrapper around this private IP address here. And then you see how this FQDN for your database is mapped to the private IP. So this resource stores that mapping. Okay. Second thing that got created is the actual private IP address itself. So this is shows up as a NIC, but essentially all it is it's a this NIC is associated with the private IP address. I think you see it here. Yeah, 10.9.0.4. And the third important thing, and this is what is the magic sauce, is how do you associate that private IP address with the FQDN? So this is the private DNS zone, and this is what makes sure that in the within the context of this VNet, when I look up EL demo SQL, it actually will route the call to this private IP address. So now that you've seen what resources got created, let's go back to our VM and see how this actually works in practice.
So this is the same VM and
the same
server.
Nothing has changed, yes. So let's go rerun the exact same commands that you saw me run the last time, right? And you'll see how things have changed here. So I did an NS lookup, and you immediately see there's a difference here. I'm not going to the public SQL gateway in the region anymore. In fact, the DNS resolution basically goes to something called as .privatelink.database.windows.net, and then it goes to 10.9.0.4. So why is it doing that? It's because this is what the DNS zone is set up to do. Now, one thing that I want to point out here is a lot of customers have tried to connect to this particular FQDN, and that won't work because that is not listening for connections. Rather, this is a DNS zone that just intercepts the call to your FQDN and routes it to this IP address. That's all it's doing.
Gotcha. And this goes along with what you mentioned, I think, in part one of the video, that, you know, my connection string doesn't change. I still just connect to
it. Exactly. Yes. Gotcha. Yes. And the other thing that we have heard from customers is, hey, I created this private IP address. Can I log in to the IP address itself? And again, the answer there is that's not supported, because the whole idea here is you don't need to change your connection string.
Right.
Now let's see what the psping command does. Now here, what you'll see different from last time is, again, it's going to 10.9.0.4, which is my private IP address and port 1433. So I'm no longer going to the public IP address, right? Which is the same thing we even saw last time. And then here, let's go. And Okay, and then let me just get my query here.
And so this is the same query that last time you ran it, it returned the public IP address.
Absolutely. So as you see, right, we didn't change anything on the client side. We just set up this thing on the networking layer. And now automatically what happens is as long as you are in the context of the VNet and you try to connect to this particular server, you are always going to be connecting via the private path. And then, you know, this is reflected in the client net address, which is 10.14 is my IP address for the client. And then one last thing I wanted to show to bring this home is a captured corresponding netmon capture on a similar setup on another machine. What you'll see is you only end up interacting with one IP address, right? In the previous interaction, you had to go to the SQL gateway and then you had to go to the backend. Whereas here, you're only doing one IP address. So that is the big security takeaway here is your surface area is drastically reduced because you now have just one IP address to protect, and it's always going to be on port 1433.
So, wow, really cool.
Yeah, so that was a very high level of how this feature works. I think the key things that I want people to take away from this demo is three things, right? One is by going to the private path, you reduce your surface for data exfiltration because you just have one IP address that you can connect. Second thing is you don't need to change your connection string. So do not try to connect using privatelink.database.windows.net or using the IP address because you don't need to do that. Your app needs to work exactly as it is today. And so that was my demo, and hopefully this helps people understand this feature a little bit better and helps them with some of the FAQs that we've gotten around this so far.
Awesome. Thanks, Rohit. And for all our listeners, thanks for joining us today. We'll put some more information to links on how to get this set up in your environment or to learn more in the show information. And if you like this video or have any questions or comments, please leave them in the comment section and tune in next time on Data Exposed.